Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 62 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Clear. 61 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Clear. 59 degrees. WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Clear. 57 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 56 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 54 degrees. WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 54 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Fog. 53 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
CMHDAD mobile monitoring. And good morning from WHCDE mobile. Good morning, sir. What's the word? Looks like it's going to be another beautiful day. Hopefully we are making the repeater system okay. We're just coming into Midland on the U.S. 10. Well, it sounded pretty good. A little scratch. You had to say they get 5.9. I'm terrible at those numbers. By the way, I just gauge them on what I hear other people hear. Oh, okay, that's kind of what that sounds like. Well, good. I'm glad the morning's off to a good start. I just dropped the kiddo off at school. I'm on my way to work. Getting there a little late, but we got a studio taping this morning, so my boss says I'm coming in a little bit late. And, yeah, I'm glad this repeater is working. Our 3.9 down here isn't doing so good. I think it needs some repair. It just needs to kick it a couple times or threaten it. Yeah, it's a different computer, or repeater. Repeater than this one. It's the one that they just put up on the WKAR-TV tower and, been having some problems. It wants to ker-chunk itself. And it wants to ker-chunk itself whenever somebody keys up. So I think they've got a new repeater on order. So we'll see how that goes. That ought to improve the situation. So, hopefully, we return to have some nets on there a couple nights, and man, it just likes to misbehave itself.
Structured chunking can be caused by several things. One could be the receiver getting desensed a little bit, or squelch not being tight enough, running the squelch a little bit too loose, along with the PL tone. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it could be, right, it could be a number of things, and LACIDRA, Lansing Civil Defense Repeater Association, because they're looking into it to see, because it's their repeater, and you know, they're looking into it to see what's up with it, because they just moved it onto the Okemos Tower, 2 months ago, and it's beautiful to sit up there. They got some extra height out of it, and just absolute great coverage, because people with 50 watt mobiles hit it from Mount Pleasant, which is just amazing. But sometimes it seems to behave itself, sometimes it doesn't. Now, last night, people were just setting it off by teeing up, and Sunday night we thought we had a problem with it, and we thought maybe there was some skip coming in on the input frequency, and that was clear. So yeah, they just can't figure it out right now. It's a mystery.
Kind of sounds like you need to put some DB dust into the system.
Yeah, that's a thought too. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think they're going to try to get it up and operational. Maybe not too much heavy duty maintenance on it since the new repeater is on order. I don't know when it's going to arrive, but I don't know how old this radio is that they're using, but sounds like they've been using it for quite a while. It used to be out in Potterville.
Very good. Any idea what they ordered for a new repeater?
Shoot, I can't tell you the model number, but I do know it's a Yaesu.
Okay. Probably one of the new Yaesu fusion repeaters, most likely. That's what everybody seems to be going to. I've got actually two of them sitting in the back room, along with the Yaesu VRX 7000 VHF and a couple of Motorola's.
Yeah, I do know it is a fusion repeater. I heard him talking about that. It's definitely a fusion. And right now, the 39 doesn't have fusion, so this will be an advantage to that for sure. So, you're headed into work this morning, I assume?
My boss wished I would be, but no, I'm not.
Where are you going?
I have a couple things to do. First thing is a doctor's appointment, and then I'm going to do a 10 parks on the air roll.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. You know, I need to do supportive stuff one of these days, and I know a couple guys in our club do it. I should really watch them do it, and see how they pull it off, because I've looked into it, and it looks like a lot of fun. Have you done it before, I assume?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I've got about like 20,000 contacts from the house, and about like 19,000 from the car. I've done such things as activate I pulled the park off the ice breaker Mackinac. We went out to, in the middle of Lake Superior, to Lighthouse Island and activated the park there, along with the island and along with the lighthouse.
Ah, so this would not be your first time. Wow, that's amazing. That is, wow, that's just incredible. Now that you mentioned Mackinac, I don't know if I didn't check out, and I think I heard it on this repeater in years past. They used to do, coordination. Oh, wait a minute. They didn't have the Mackinac Bridge once this year, did they? Or did they? Because they used to have, a link system where they coordinate public safety, and I think it was on one of these frequencies around here. Because the backup EOC is on the Icebreaker Mackinac, and it's got a view of the Mackinac Bridge. They used to do the walk across the bridge off the Icebreaker. Now, I was the first ham to use the Icebreaker for POTA use. Did very well on it. We've done boat activations from Lime Island, Lime Island Harbor, Harbor Island. Some of the, I would call them more spectacular activations.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I can imagine, those islands, probably, pretty distant as far as hitting anything. And, did you find that the water was a better conductor for that?
Well, the water was like a challenge to get to some of them.
Really? Because I've always heard that it helps strengthen signals a little bit. And, of course, in open water, you don't have a whole lot of obstruction to deal with.
Except when you're in an 18-foot open boat,
That's true. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that they positioned it on a breaker. I wasn't sure how they got that all set up. And like I said, I don't know if they canceled the walk this year, because I know they've been doing a lot of construction on the bridge, and they've had traffic pretty much kind of, jockeyed over to two lanes here and two lanes there.
JD Mobile, they did have the walk this year, so I did not participate. Maybe next year.
We tried once. We tried one year, and I think it was 2001, and we went up to Houghton Lake and stayed with a friend of mine up there. His family has cottages up there, and we were going to get up there for the walk, and we were running a little late anyway, but that was a year that they had high winds up there, and they ended up canceling it because of the winds. So it was a better situation once we got there. The winds had died down. The skies had cleared out. So we just drove over and spent the day half a day at Drummond Island and made some fun out of that.
Cool. Well, Drummond Island, when we were up there on the last roll, I did not go across to Drummond Island. And I do want to, before it's too late in the year, I want to go up there and activate the three parks on Drummond Island and catch a couple more up in the UP. I've been to 164 different parks in Michigan.
The Beaver Island.
That's on my list.
It is a beautiful place. If you ever have a chance to get there, there's this big sand dune called Mount Pisgah, or I think that's what it's called, but it's this huge sand dune, and it takes a while, and eat your Wheaties before you start to climb this thing, because it's going to be a trek. But once you get up there, it is the most beautiful, peaceful spot you've ever been in. I could have spent all day up there, and if you're gonna take an HT somewhere and try to make some QSLs, that's the place.
Yeah, I activated Sleeping Bear Dunes from the top of the highest point over there. Yeah, that's a beautiful area too. My son was hiking up there with his friends about a month ago. I've never been there, but I've heard a lot about it for sure. It's, that would be an excellent spot.
So you asked where I worked, and I have my office is, you know, I guess you could call it large enough. Come on, guy, get around. I have the backup 911 central dispatch for the county behind me, and I take care of some of the radios.
Oh, cool. Do you have a favorite that you like to work on?
Nowadays, none of them.
Oh, so they're all digital mode.
Yeah, your service monitors got to have fancy protocols. I actually bought the Fusion module so I can do Fusion on my service monitor.
Well, that's cool. I said, yeah, I guess now that they're going to put Fusion on our other repeater here, I should learn a little bit more about it. I started to get into G-Star and that my brain started to hurt, but I need to look more into the digital, different digital modes for sure. I guess get familiar with them all. Good old analog has always been the go-to for me. Always been. You know, I've only been doing this for 2 years, but it's been what I've always listened to. So it's, I guess it's what I grew up on and what made me want to get into this. I hate to be short, but I'm coming up to work here. I'm going to have to back out and get myself into the building so they know that I'm alive and I'm here and ready to go. But anyway, I wish you a great morning, and hopefully catch up with you again soon. 73, and
yeah, this is one of the repeaters I do scan. I scan it at home and I scan it at work. I also do have the MI5 network, MI5 digital network. I also have Fusion mobile in the vehicle. So we roll with about everything. So, all right, 73, have a terrific day, WHAD Mobile.
Good morning. 0800 hours. Fog. 53 degrees. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 0900 hours. Fog. 56 degrees. Good morning. 1000 hours. Sunny. 64 degrees.
ADHCJ, listening.
What's going on?
Hey man, how's it going?
Behind schedule as usual. I expected my cousin back to the house. I'm flying down the road and he walks past I thought we were going to have an extra set of hands.
Yeah, it's all good. I already moved it all once, so I can move it all again. I just went down and curated a few more pieces for the pile and moved some stuff to an easier location and yada, yada, yada. It's right next to the door. Can't mess it up.
That would have been good if you'd have showed up, because Rick, you met him once. He's pretty good at messing it up.
Right on. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff, like I said. Like, you can dig through whatever, and if there's stuff you don't want, don't feel bad. Just leave it, and we'll dumpster it.
If it's metal, it's going. I mean, you know, I'm looking for stuff, too, but if it's metal, it's going, because I've got a big old care package for old Mark up there. I've got enough right now, but I got to get some more consumable plasma cutter, and that'll make things much quicker on some of the stuff I'm taking out there. But he's going to have a big old package of goodies here coming at him. I'm taking a break from the colony stuff and doing this.
Yeah, right on. There's a fair bit of computer case type stuff that's still functional, but maybe not like newest gen type stuff, right? You know, it'd be good for old Linux boxes or whatever, but like I said, it's all made out of metal. I don't know, there's a place in Chesaning that takes like motherboards and memory and stuff. That's all full of gold, CPUs, and I don't know what they pay for it, but if you're ever up that way, you can drop all that stuff in their box. But all the tough books and stuff are made out of magnesium. That stuff scraps for reasonable amounts. So, I mean, they're all working, but, you know, they end up being something you want to just toss them. I'll just hoard them forever, right? So might as well get a use out of them.
And that was it, too, you know. And then, you know, Paul was talking about those inverters and stuff for the power pole connectors, which I need a few of those. I need to order a bunch of them, actually. So if they still got those on them and he hasn't already stopped over, that's some stuff that I want to do for my bug out radio camp outs, you know. Like that other stuff that'll run on those old Linux programs, I use, you know, you go to cnclinux.org, and that's the programs that I'm running. There's a lot of distros on there, very, very basic stuff. And there's some of that stuff can actually make the Arduino into the slave, but they've got, you know, the printer ports, they got amplifier boards for those, or I mean, they got boards, breakout boards for those, and they got amplifiers for the breakout.
Yep, I didn't cut nothing off of any of those battery boxes. Only one, like I said, I took one apart. And I got some transformers and stuff that I'm never going to do any with. There's some magnetron tubes from microwaves. And, you know, I just random crap that I pulled apart over the years, right?
The old 73 magazines had a ATV transmitter that used microwave parts. It was old, I think 80s or 90s stuff. And I'm sure it's loose by today's standards, but they were using those for mountaintop fast scan ATV.
Yeah, I think microwave is in the 2.4 gigahertz range somewhere. So maybe that's what they were using them for. Magnetron tubes, like, I don't know what they're, if they're worth anything. Who knows? They're 1,000 watt tubes. Who knows? They're made out of aluminum, though.
I don't remember if they used gun flexors or if they were using little loop yagis, like that thing that you give me that ended up on the bottom of the pile. Boy, that really disgusted me. I wanted to keep that antenna. That was a cool antenna. I used to see those at the swaps when I was a kid. Tore up. Looks neat, though. They ground up all that asphalt from 24 and put it back here on Norway Lake Road. Now I figured I'd go this way and cut some time. Now they're grading it one side. They've got her piled right up where I got to drive. Thankfully, I haven't went off in a swamp yet.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know if they did it all the way down or what, but that's cool.
Much down to Flint River Road, and then it looks like they got Skelton Road, too.
Yeah, cool. I've driven that way to soccer practice a billion times for my kids, but it's always like the moon over there by Skelton and Norway Lake.
Well, I mean, this is one of my mushroom spots, some of this, but I used to go gigging frogs back up in those swamps, gigging frogs for frog legs.
Yeah, back in there by the dam stuff, that's a nice place for, I went ice fishing back there a couple times. I never ended up catching anything, but it's at least peaceful and you don't get bothered.
Back before the lawsuit, way back, my grandparents used to go there and they had hybrid trout that they had in there, you know. And further back, before the dam was in, they had some type of trout that would come up the river. They didn't have the dams until, I don't know, 53, I think. The Army Corps engineer went nuts on that, but the river was wide open, and you could catch a stringer of these different, all sorts of fish we don't have there no more. I think they may even have had the grayling fish, which is a trout, down this far. I know they had a lot of weird fish.
Yeah, I don't know what's in there now. I don't, I've never seen anyone catch anything. I know there's gar in there. Actually, I do know there's gar in there because I see people bow hunting for them in, like, the fall, I think. They always dump a big pile of them out on the bank, and they don't do anything with them besides shoot them and dump them. Gar and, what's it called? Carp, of course, in there.
Somebody probably put those gar in there to weed out the weed stuff out in hopes that the gar would die off. But they hunt in pairs. Them gar have it figured out. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, they look like dinosaurs for sure. ADHDJ.
Maybe it always. Yeah, they, that's definitely a antique, nasty fish. I don't know anybody that eats them. I suppose you could probably clean them, but man, I'll tell you what, any of them pike type fish are hard to clean, hard to fillet out, so I don't know. Unless you got a giant one, I don't know. I mean, they're a nasty, nasty predator.
Yeah, I think they're full of, I think they're super full of bones and people don't like dealing with it. But I've never caught one, so I've never even seen what the inside of one looks like that wasn't, you know, a couple weeks sitting out in the sun. So the, yeah, they're cool looking fish though, but they're I don't know, they're hard to find. I guess I only see them every now and then. I've never seen them anywhere but there.
There don't need to be too many of them, that's for sure, because they'll wipe an area out of small fish. They pair up the way they hunt. They, like, school up and swim the banks and hit the beds and all that stuff, but they're an evil fish. Rows of them, feet pointing back like that, and the head, they narrow down more than the pike. And then, you know, they have some Y-bone in the about the last third of them. You end up with, like, four or five, I think, five fillets by the time you get it all cut up. I don't think there's any good way of cleaning them. I mean, they might be good smoked. I don't know. I've never eaten one. I've never been that brave. And I've never seen too many of them over about 2 foot long around here, right? But you get up on the Osabo and stuff out by the dams there, and I've seen them get real big there. I've seen jawbones laying on the edge of shore where people just throwing them up there and let the birds eat them.
Yeah, they're the ones I've seen are about 3 foot, 2 foot, somewhere in that area, maybe about 6 or 8 inches across. They get pretty fat from what I remember. gotta be getting close, right?
Yeah, I'm about a mile and maybe a mile and a quarter, mile and a half. Yeah, they get, I mean, they look fat, but they're really not compared to other pike. They're about the same size, but their head gets so narrow. It's almost like a dolphin beak sticking out there. Thank God they don't get as big and nasty as the ones down in Florida. Those things look like, they look as evil as an alligator, and I think I've seen those about 5-6 feet across and about, long. And they've got a species over in other countries that get much bigger and 6-7 feet long. I wouldn't even want to get in the water with any of those.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to get in the water in Florida at all. I seen a guy one time on like YouTube or something, and he's like, yeah, people always ask me how you tell if there's gators in the water down here in South Florida. And he's like, first thing you do is you get down here on your knees and you stick your finger in the water, and then you pull it out, and you rub them together, and if they're wet, then there's a gator in the water.
Almost everything in Florida and Texas and around that Gulf, especially, either bites or stings. And the other side of Florida is equally as bad.
Yeah, I've been in Florida quite a bit. I spent a lot of time in the ocean down there, but not I don't mess around with any of the water that isn't salt. And there's enough stuff in there that'll bother me. But we never had any trouble, but there's enough stuff in there that will bother me, that I don't need to play with the fresh water down there.
I've had small sharks slam into me pretty hard, and then like fleas or something else. Boy, when they're in season, I can't hardly get in that water without them. They're like a little tiny bunch of little piranhas chewing on you.
Yeah, never been bothered by that stuff. I don't know what the season is for them, but I've caught some of those weird-looking little, like, crabby things that jump around in the sand. We scooped them up all over the place, and they're cool to look at. I'm sure they have a bite, though. As far as sharks, we've never seen any sharks or anything. I've been snorkeling for probably 1,000 hours, and I've never seen a shark. My dad dives a lot, and he says he's seen lots of sharks, but I haven't seen anything in water that's snorkelable, right? Nothing super deep, 30, 40 foot max.
I'm in the second drive out and around this pine here.
Yeah, hug the east side there because there's a septic field. You should be able to see it. It's going to be a different color than everything else. I'll be right over.
Stay to the east of this tree. Stay tight to the tree.
You can stay with the tree on your driver's side, but just stay tight to it.
I'm perplexed now. All right, come on out and point and yell. Give me it all week.
ADACJ clear.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
WU8JDE Mobile monitoring.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Sunny. 72 degrees.
WJDE Mobile listening. WHJDE Mobile is the name. WAJDE Mobile listening.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
WAJD Mobile in Bridgeport.
Good afternoon, 1200 hours. Sunny. 77 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours, mostly sunny, 80 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN repeater in Guilford.
KDO Mobile App Monitoring 33.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly sunny. 80 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours, sunny, 82 degrees. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Good afternoon. 1600 hours, sunny, 83 degrees.
Hello, Vic, are you out there? NADLC, this is NHUYU. You around, Vic? AEAZX, NHUYU, you around? Again, I think it's Mark. Guess not, NHUYU, clear.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, sunny, 82 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN repeater in Guilford. Good evening, 1800 hours. Sunny. 81 degrees.
NATN, mobile and monitoring.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly sunny. 76 degrees.
KE8SEV, KE8SEV, this is KF8CWP, standing by.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
KF8CWP, clear.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Mostly clear. 70 degrees.
KF8CWP monitoring.
Again, this is November Foxtrot 8 Quebec.
Go ahead, November Foxtrot. What was that full call sign, please?
November Foxtrot 8 Quebec.
Copy, November Foxtrot 8 Quebec. This is KFA BWP. How you doing? This is Steve from Orkville.
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. This is John, January, Oscar, November, from Imlay City, north of Imlay City. Over.
Yeah, copy, north of Imlay City. Okay, are you mobile or are you base? Over.
You should ask my 897 site. Using my FD-7.
Yeah, John, I can almost not reach you. You're almost unreadable completely.
Yeah, right for that. New radio coming in. But I have to work, so only 5 watts. Sorry, guys.
No problem. I play around with my 5 watt a lot as well.
Okay, that's fine. November, Fox Friday, Quebec. Final on your final.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you, John, even if so it was briefly. This is KF8BWP, wishing you 73s.
NADN mobile. Whiskey 8, Delta Lima Kilo monitoring. Thank you.
Good evening. 21 hours. Clear. 67 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guildford. Good evening. 22 hours. Clear. 66 degrees. Good evening. 23 hours. Clear. 63 degrees. W8CMN, repeater in Guildford.